Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back up here speaking again. If you've ever spoken anywhere, it's always a reassurance that you get asked to speak again. So it's always a good sign. So I'm back here again, and it's a pleasure to be able to open God's Word together and unpack the truths in here and looking through our series of knowing and growing and going with our God and our Savior. So let's just go through the verses we're going to preach on this morning. Here we go. Apologies if it's quite small to see. If you've got a Bible with you, turn to it. If not, try and read them on the screen here. But it's from 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's verses 13 to 25, and it says this: Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you, for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Know that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. I'm sure God will put a blessing on the reading of his word this morning. Now, when I started to look at this, I really found it hard to get past verse 16. The first four verses really sprung out to me, and just talking about the holiness of God and our call to be holy. As Peter challenges here, we have to be holy because I am holy. That's what God has said us to do. And I found it really hard, and I don't know about you, but even just saying the word holy, it's got a real weight to it, that word. It's even the word seems holy, if you understand what I mean. It's incredible. And just trying to understand and picture what is holy and what would people on the street think is holy, what is their picture of holiness? And in my line of work, I'm a design engineer, and looking for what things are. When we're producing and manufacturing things, we're looking so that the failure rate is right down, that it's perfect in alignment and the tolerances. We're looking for a really good, high standard. And that is the kind of perfection. And I mean, we're on the gala a few weeks ago, or last weekend, and we had our Lego blocks. And it just reminded me, because I've looked at Lego before, and Lego just stands out to me as an amazing, amazing piece of kit. The manufacturing standards of Lego is incredible. Absolutely incredible, and it's almost like the peak of manufacturing. You know, Lego is made, it's heated in plastic. The plastic is melted down and put injected into these molds. And the molds are so accurate to within 0.005 of a millimeter. Now, that's hard to understand. So, in your 30 centimeter ruler, take 1 centimeter, divide that by 10, and then you've got 0.05 of that again to the standards of these Lego blocks. Unbelievable. As a kind of industrial designer, it's just brilliant. I love Lego. And now that I'm a father, I've got an excuse again to play with it. You know, and not like a geeky excuse, but now I can actually say I can play with my son, play with Lego, and it seems okay for the world looking in. But I'm fascinated by Lego. It's just an incredible piece of manufacturing. And so incredible is it that during the manufacturing process, Lego, that only 18 pieces in every 1 million made fail to meet the company's high quality standard. Only 18 in a million. putting that into percentages, I love stats, is that their percentage failure rate is 0.0018. It's basically perfect. Perfect. But it's not perfect. It's not. There is failure, and there's wrong. And when I come to these verses, and I think about God and his standard and who he is, we come to understand God's standard is sinless and righteous and holy. And in fact, holy is not just one of his attributes. It's everything. It's his whole essence is holy. His holy love, his holy care, his holy mercy upon us. It's who God is. It's holy. In fact, the Bible goes even further than this. It says he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, it says in Isaiah 6. Not just holy, but holy, times holy, an incredible holiness. And I just felt a real sense of being so small, being almost shrunken down to one of these little Lego bricks when I come to comprehend God and his holiness. The Bible also tells us how holy he is. It says in Exodus, who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. And in Samuel, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. He is the one who created the universe, who put the stars in the sky, who created you and I. This is who we're talking about this morning. An almighty, holy God. And we have this challenge to be holy as I am holy. It's a real weight. You know, God's holiness embodies the mystery of his awesomeness and causes us to gaze in wonder at him. Have you ever stopped in your life and have that moment where you've just gazed in wonder of God in your quiet time? Just how incredible he is in comprehending and just trying to comprehend it. We can't comprehend it because he is so holy, he's so separated from us, that he is so sinless and pure. But just trying to get a little bit of that mystery and that majesty and comprehending it. God is holy. He sets the standard. But going back to this, it's very hard to comprehend. And I think for people out on the street, if you ask them, well, what does holy look like to you? If you paint a picture of holiness, what maybe they would say? You know, for some people, it might be a picture of monks who are separate, you know, wearing the long robes, shaving their heads, whatever. Oh, they're living a holy life, separating themselves up in this mountain and keeping away and doing nothing wrong, not getting tainted by the world or getting led astray. Yeah, maybe they think that's what holiness is. And they have this picture of these monks. It's an extreme view. But you know what I think? They always have a kind of suffering, sad face, these monks. It's a life of seclusion. And this is not a picture the world should see and have when it looks at holiness in Christians. Because Christ did not seclude himself, but far from it, he came into the world to save the world. He came in and he went out into the world and he lived with people. He didn't seclude himself. This is not a good picture people should have. It could be these monks here as well. But other people, another extreme view possibly is the idea of a person who walks around all smiley-faced all the time, you know, walking around, making religious statements with a halo around their head, glowing face, a kind of holier-than-thou attitude. I'm better than you. I'm holier than you. That's also not a bad, that's not a good picture of what God wants us to be in our life. In fact, there was a survey in America recently of people under 20, and they asked them, you know, who's the most famous Christian, the most evangelical, or good person? And do you know what? It came back. It was this guy. Ned Flanders. Actually, people projected, you know, what a good, holy Christian life living. It was Ned Flanders. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. But do we put on an act of holiness? Do we just try and speak and say the words we think seem right and look right? Do we look, trying to look good, or are we truly living a holy life for God? A holy life for God. Because the Christian calling is of holiness. And Peter writes this letter, and time again, he calls for pure conduct and living again and again for holiness with God. And it starts in verse 13. And it starts with this picture of the battle for the mind. And it's a daily battle. And a weekly battle. And as Emma's talked about and shared with us, and we're thankful for that, it can be hard. It's really hard. But it talks about the be of minds that are alert and sober. It's the battle for the mind. And Romans 12 and 2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to keep our minds on God and on our Savior, focused on Him. Do you know, have you ever heard of a guy called Steve Peters? Steve Peters, anyone who that's? You may have heard them around the Olympics time. Steve Peters was the sports psychologist for Chris Hoy, Pendleton. He has a lot of sport footballers as well. And he's got this kind of theory that we all have an inner chimp inside us. We all have this inner chimp. And he this inner chimp runs our lives. And we need to try and kind of tame our inner chimp, try and live a good life. And if we can control that chimp, then we can focus and we can have a good life, etc. Now, I don't really particularly agree with everything that Steve Peters talks about, but I do relate to that we're not just alone in this. We're not just alone. Once we have put our trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are filled with His Holy Spirit, and He is in us. And it's not just us anymore. We have Christ with us and the Holy Spirit living in us. And we need to cling to that and look to that Spirit to help us to live this life of holiness for Him. Let the Holy Spirit renew our lives, let Him change us and transform us into the people we've been asked to be for Him. So this is all about being mentally alert. We have to be mentally alert and disciplined. So thinking clearly and exercising self-control and being focused on looking forward to Christ's return, as it talks about in verse 13. The hope that we have in Christ coming again to take us to be with Him, an eternal hope. Be focused on Christ. This will keep us focused, keeping our eyes fixed on Him. It will keep us following a life of holiness for Him. You know, the imminent return of Christ should be our motivation to live a life for Him. You know, I heard this great story of a man, and he had this plaque above the inside of his front door. So every time he left the front door, he would read these words as he left, and he lived his life. And the words above his door was, maybe today. Maybe today. And as he left that day each morning, he would go with the knowing and the understanding that maybe today Christ will come for him. And he should live our lives focused in that. Maybe today. You know, if we knew that Christ was returning next week, if we had a definite date, if it was going to be a week from today, what would we do? We'd be living differently. We'd be acting differently. How would we be going about our daily, day-to-day things? In the next part, we move into verse 14, it talks about being obedient children, living as obedient children. I don't know if parents out there, being a parent's hard. There's no qualms about it. If Ross and Nadia are here, I don't want to scare you, but being a parent is hard. In fact, I'll go as far as saying it's frustrating. And I see Henderson's there, frustrating. Absolutely frustrating. You know, your child can show the best, and also the worst within moments. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with you, Daddy. I'm not your friend anymore. You know? Just within seconds, they can be brilliant and obedient and doing good, and then you ask them to go, let's go do something else. No, I'm not doing it. I'm throwing my toys out the pram. I'm sitting down. And it just really kind of emphasized to me my Heavenly Father, how he looks at me. And how frustrated he must be with me. You know, thinking how I make God feel. When I know better, I'm now, when I have the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, that I know better, yet I was still things that I do, and I should know I should be doing better. I'm no longer ignorant or naive, but I frustrate and don't obey. It's a great picture, that the obedient child, and I'm sure every parent has their kind of wish list to tick, an obedient child, please, obedient child. We need to be obedient children of God and living for him. And it's being holy in all that we do. We're asked to be holy in all that we do. You know, the Message version, sometimes I like to see it and see how they unpacked some of the verses. And they said this about obedient children. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. And as obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing. Blazing with holiness. Blazing with holiness. I like that phrase. Be holy in all that we do. Now, I'm going to share a personal story here, because I think we're all friends here. We're in the nest. We're all safe here in the nest. And I'm sure you won't chuck me out after I tell you this. But I had a recent run-in with the Fife's finest police. Please don't judge me yet. Don't judge me yet, please. I may have been going a little bit over the speed limit, and I passed these policemen, and then I suddenly saw them run to their car, and then suddenly, and I thought, okay, whoops, and then I thought, I had that kind of split second moment where my inner chimp said, well, I'll just go faster and get away from them, but no, I said no, I didn't do that, no, right, but the flashing lights came on, they pulled me over, and I was sweating. That kind of like you're going above the like school when you do bad. And the guy just said to me, right, son, you want to come in the car, please? And I was like, yes, just take me away. Just lock me up. I know I've done bad. I got hands up here. I was like, so I took me in. And you know, I felt really unholy that time. It's be holy in all that you do. I felt so bad, you know. And in fact, so bad that my son, when I got home, he says, you've been bad, Daddy. You've been the police. And so that kind of turned the table, so that kind of relationship. I tell him, teach him to be good and obedient. Yet, I've been doing things like this. You know, I thought about for a second name-dropping kind of Billy Stark. Do you know Billy Stark? Or maybe Andy Whitley, do you know him? I thought, I better not. No, I can't get out of this one. I need to done the crime, pay the time sort of thing. But we need to be holy in all that we do and not just pick and choose. You know, it's not just being holy here on a Sunday morning. And when we're worshiping, or at home group, or in front of our parents, putting on the show, it's all we do, we're called to do, and all we do. All parts of our lives and character. Because we now live by a different standard. We don't live by the world's standard, we live by God's standard, as we've seen, as holiness, as holy. Be holy as I am holy. And it's linked to the beginning of Romans 12 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy that was sending his son to die on the cross for us, to take our sin away, that we may have a life eternal with him, that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is our calling. I want to ask you, are we God pleasers or are we man pleasers? Are we holy and pleasing to God? Living by what he commands. And being holy should be our goal. God commands it. It's our new identity in Christ, as we've said. Because we are people of God. And it proclaims the gospel also in our lives to others. It says that in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it says this, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness in his wonderful light. that we would just project this wonderful light that God has given us. We're now under God's light and God's holiness, and we are called to it. Ephesians 1 and 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Called to holiness. And we should stand out from the crowd. We don't blend in anymore because we've got this holiness in us, this Holy Spirit. God's qualities in our lives make us different in a contrast to what is going on. But we cannot be holy, as I've said, in our own lives because we are not holy. But it's through what God has done in the Holy Spirit in our lives. And holiness seems so impossible to achieve. And sometimes we think, it's so hard. How can I do this? How can I live this life for you, God? And I've often struggled with that in my life, but I've just got so low and I think, I'm just so terrible. How can I do this? Again, it echoes Isaiah when he saw the vision he saw and he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he just felt ruined. He felt ruined in his life because he could see how holy God was and how terrible his life was. But the Holy Spirit now lives in us. We are not alone. He dwells in us at the moment of salvation. He'd be able to transform us and turn our lives into what God wants. You know, we're in the world, but not of the world, as people say all the time. And that shouldn't be like the monks. We shouldn't hide away. But God wants us to be a beacon of his holiness out to the world. You know, I've had this great illustration that Christians to the world are like boats to water. Like boats to water. You know, a boat that's not in the water is a pretty sorry sight. A boat's meant to be in the water. That's where it's made to be. And God has asked us to go out into the world. We're called to be into the world. But the problem is when we need to be in the world, but the problem is when the world gets into us. And this is where we need to come before God and ask for his forgiveness and ask for his helping, his guidance through his Spirit. It's like the boat on the water. It's made to be in the water, but the problem is when the water gets into the boat, then you have issues. And that's like us. Holiness is being in the world, but not the world in us. And it comes to our next couple of verses, the reverent fear. It talks about living in reverent fear. But reverent fear is a holy respect, a healthy respect for the Almighty God. It says here in the Psalms, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him in all the earth. You know, now that we have been saved, our privileged status as God's children does not give us freedom to do whatever we want. We are not to be spoiled children, but grateful and obedient children who love to show respect for our Heavenly Father. And the outworking of this is obedience. Is obedience. I don't know if you can see this. This is my Monroe clan crest. If you're a part of a clan, my clan crest. And you see the motto there on our clan is dread God. And also that was pretty cool when I was growing up, dread God. You know, the Monroes dread God. Let me do this. You know. But I was kind of thinking of it. Yeah, if you're not a Christian, yeah, dread God. But as Christians, we shouldn't be dreading God. It's not that type of fear of being scared to come before God. It's a respectful and fervent fear, reverent fear, not apprehension. In Revelation, John has been taken, and he sees the Son of Man, he sees Christ, and he falls to his feet. He falls down before him in fear, it tells us. But then he hears the words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We are able to come before God now. In his holiness, God made a provision for our sins through Christ by the shedding of his blood. And that means we can now approach the throne of God because of his righteousness in us, exchanged for our sin at the cross. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his precious blood, through his holiness, was the ultimate sacrifice for us, that we may be able to partake in this righteousness for us. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I'm alive forever and ever. Reverent, but not afraid, and living in our holiness for him. And God made us who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's only through Christ we can have this. And the verses go on and talk about now the practicality of this holiness and showing this. It talks about it as in sincere love. I had a great quote from C.S. Lewis: how little people know who think that holiness is dull. People say, oh, it's being square, being good, being a good person, that's square, that's dull, that's not fun. Far from it. How little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible. And when I come and you think about God, you want just to be drawn to it. And if we live our lives for him and we lift up Christ, he says that he will draw men unto him, to the working of his Spirit. We are now ambassadors for Christ in our lives. And we need to have this sincere love for everyone. And the practical holiness, I was thinking about it, it's the outpouring of the fruits of the Spirit. And the church has been looking at it in the prayer meeting. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How can people have a picture of holiness? How can they see holiness? It's by the outpouring of the Spirit in us. How do people know Christ was holy? Because of his words and his actions. The Bible clearly tells us that people would say, no one has spoke like this man. They could see the difference in him, that he was holy. He was holy. And God, and we look at knowing, growing, and going. We need to know him, know his holiness, and recognize it. And we need to grow in it. We need to live our lives for him and become more like Christ, growing in holiness, letting the Holy Spirit transform us. And we need to go out into the world and show forth this holiness, that Christ may be given the ultimate praise. I want to finish with this quote by Jerry Bridges. He wrote this book about holiness. And it says this: God has given us everything we need to live a life of holiness. He has redeemed us from a life of sin. Tick. He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us. Tick. And he's promised to answer our prayers when we are tempted. It's not impossible, because God is here to help us. So let's know God in our lives. Let's know his holiness. And let's aim to live a life for him. And if we don't know his holiness, I pray that this morning, that you may think about it, that you may gaze and wonder at him and see who he really is and for what he is, and that you come to know him and we live our lives for him. Let's just close in prayer.